With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today for this Thursday session of Abounding Grace. And if you were with us yesterday and listened to the program, you know that we were reacting to this statement that Paul says here. We're interacting with it. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. That has a huge implication for the Christian life. Because often what we do is that we are desperately trying to push, we said yesterday, our successes or our failures back into the discussion of how we are right with God. And so we say, well, I can't believe that I stumbled in this sin, or how could I be right with God and do that? Then I ask the question, how were you right with God in the first place? When did any of us, if we're Christians today, ever have our lives together enough to be right with Him? When were your works good enough? Do you see what we do? We still have a little bit, I said yesterday, of that medieval axiom, if you do your best, God will do the rest. In justification? That's dangerous ground. You see, the Bible's message is that to the sinners, you've tried to do your best, and it only came out before me as a filthy garment. Confess that you will do nothing, and I will do everything for you in Christ. Come to Christ with a believing heart, and He will justify that sinner. The heart is deceitful above all things, however, and pride always attaches itself to my successes in the Christian life to deceive me to think that God is pretty happy with me. And I will do all I can to force my successes into my justification to replace the original basis for it, which is Christ's righteousness. He's the only basis. His perfect life and death and resurrection is the only basis for justification. This is a terrible sin, of course, that needs to be repented of. Look, when God declared you righteous, it was done forever, based upon the righteousness of Christ received by the instrument of faith. And since justification is a one-time act, it's never repeated. The greatest insult to God is to doubt Him as if your sin or your successes was the basis for your right standing before God in the first place. And so we want desperately to see our advancements or our failures of the Christian life as part of what marks us as right with God. It's the most difficult thing for a sinner to see that nothing we do in this life, not what I feel, not my tears, not my holiness at all, has anything to do with my right standing before God. Paul is saying when it comes to what makes a sinner right before God, there's absolutely nothing in your life that pleases Him. I know that's tough to swallow, but then when you think about what follows that, the only thing that does please Him is the life of Christ. And when I trust in Him by faith, our lives do become pleasing to Him because the Father sees my very life hid in Christ's life. That's the language the Bible used. My life is now hidden in Him, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. That in Christ theme is all throughout the book of Ephesians. That means we're in union with Him. Paul says, where's boasting? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified apart from the deeds of the law. Nothing is more clear than that. So we need to be very careful. What are some common ways of pride that continue to fill us that we need to be very aware of? The first, I would say, generally speaking, is our morality. This is the Pharisee in all of us, that believes that since we are moral people, God will accept us, at least more moral than the people in this world who are doing the really bad things. This is by far the most dangerous and common form of pride in the Christian. We produce our own sets of laws and rules as to what really marks a true believer, and we become a Pharisee. I go to church twice, or I help out on the church grounds. I live a good and decent, upright life. I fast. I give of my time. I have my kids in the right school. I support moral causes. And these new laws of morality become a righteousness that people think God will be pleased with. While those who do not quite fit into this system that they've induced and they've built are looked down upon and excluded from the fellowship. Therein lies a very wicked kind of boasting before God, something that we need to be very careful of in the Christian life. The theology of the cross says that if you've created another system of righteousness, you will perish with that system of righteousness. The only means of acceptance is the life and death of Christ. That's it. Period. But I see Christians all the time, even in reform camps, building their own systems and saying this is what marks somebody as righteous before God. Some new law that they've imposed, some little tiny doctrine that they have now held up as the defining mark, and yet they've lost justification by faith alone. The second form of boastful pride is what? Knowledge. Knowledge. There are those who have all of their points of theology memorized. They can answer any question of the catechism. They know all the creeds. They're ready to take on anyone who departs in just the littlest fashion. And so knowing all the doctrines of the Christian faith, they've learned to think that salvation is in correlation to how much you know or how correctly you know it. Now, of course, there are certain things that do need to be known. And of course, how great my sin and misery are, how I'm to be set free from my sin and misery, which is Jesus Christ, and how I'm to be thankful to God. But Paul reacts against this kind of false boasting. The Jews who had all the commandments of God memorized, they had a form of knowledge, Paul said in Romans chapter 2. There was an outward, quote, form there. Notice that. It says form. They had the creeds in their mouths, but nothing in the heart. And since they were not trusting in Christ, their lives did not correspond. So that's knowledge, pride in knowledge. Third, another dangerous form of boasting secretly in us is pious feelings. And so this is the danger on the opposite side of the ditch in the megachurch movement and these churches that boast in numbers because they tickle people's ears. This is the pious feeling approach. You think of the song, Horatius Bonar's song, Not What My Hands Have Done. In that song, it states, not all my sighs and tears can bear my awful load. We think that the extent of our sorrow for sin is what justifies us. Or the warm feelings or the sentiments that we have for God must be the basis for his acceptance. If we can work people up into a state of tears, that will show that they are really going to be accepted before God. Their sorrow. I remind you of Hebrews 12. This is Esau. The text warns against any of us, of course, being fornicators or profane persons like Esau. And then it says this, listen, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward he wanted to inherit the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though his soul sought it diligently with tears. Esau wept over sin. He didn't repent, but he wept of his unbelief. He had full unbelief in the promises. He did not believe Christ. And so there was no genuine repentance, but there were tears. Though he was filled with sorrow over his sins, he was not a justified person. This is an ungodly fear of God. Tears don't justify. Tears don't justify. And so churches need to beware who are trying to emotionally rape their members with false securities when they think that just stirring them up to a moment's emotional decision will be the basis of their justification. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Finally, the last of and the most obnoxious form of boasting before God is faith itself. I notice there's often a crucial distinction that many people have made in the past in theology books, and it's a very good one. Why do we say that faith alone, by faith alone, one is right with God? That's the Heidelberg Catechism. What's the answer? It's not my faith that makes me right with God, but only the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. Did you hear that? We think that our very belief justifies us. Often I hear this in the way the gospel is presented today. It's so disturbing. We think the reason we're going to heaven is because we believed and that person down the street does not. Let me ask, is the reason you're going to heaven is because you believed? You see now what we've done. It's as if my own belief has justified me. Your belief itself did not justify you. Christ's righteousness is the basis of your justification. And so I hear this all the time in gospel presentation. Look, God knows you can't keep the law, so here's what you can do. Believe and he will justify you, as if your own faith, as you turned it on, justifies. In this system, now our belief is the reason for boast. I would imagine it's a shock to some today that our belief does not justify us. It's possible that you've had a prideful heart before the Lord because of your belief and the lack of belief in your pagan neighbor next door. Well, I believe and they don't. That's a boasting of pride. Or when somebody is forced to walk an aisle or sign a card, all of a sudden it's presented to them as if their own belief did it. What justifies you? Who justifies you? Paul said in verse 24 of Romans 3, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The basis of our justification is Christ and Christ alone. Faith is just the instrument to receive it. And just so that you don't pat yourself on the back because of your faith, the Bible makes it clear, Ephesians 2, faith is a gift from God, even your faith. And that the instrument to receive Christ and his benefit was something secured for you on his work and the cross as one of the benefits. Faith itself is a gift. And that's what he says to us today. Come believing in Christ. It's a gift so that no man may boast. And so when we do place our trust in Christ, as that gift of faith is worked in our hearts through the Spirit, Christ does justify us based upon his perfect righteousness. That is the gospel. Christ alone and Christ alone, because of his beautiful work on the cross to save sinners from death. Cherish that gospel, my friends, for it's the only way a sinner can be right with God. When a sinner is justified before God, do you know how the Father sees that sinner? Just as if he had never sinned or been a sinner. Just as if he was perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for him. That is the gospel. We proclaim that gospel at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Join us at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. this coming Lord's Day. And we also visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for joining us today and this week. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.